These are my snowman poems. Number one. He did not go to the tundra. It came to him. First, a tickle in his teeth, then a frost on his tongue, then a slab of ice inching up his throat. When it finally broke, everyone else was somewhere else but him. Had left by night, had left by plane, had left him bundling into his future, all animal handsome in a thickening coat, elk sleek, moose stubborn, ready to hammer it out with the wind and the snow. Number two. The world blubbered. He trimmed and slimmed and leaned. He hated blubber, the flaccid feel of it against his teeth, the fatty slick it left on his lips, the slow gelatinous curls it wound down his throat the way it lay there like a wet log on the slow fire souring in his gut. There was nothing about it he could love. But when cold drilled pinpoint holes in all his bones, when wind thinned blood to ether in his brain, when his sorry heart wound down to zero dark, he hacked off hunks of it, ate it quick and raw and all he could stomach until he was bloated, bilious, all smiles to find there was nothing he could not love. Number three. It went hard out there for the flowers. Flash card blurs of red dashing past breathless upstarts of yellow spattering freak summer snow thins. Pale pink, pale blue, pastel woozies bobbing through thaw fogs prickled by sunlight still stiff from winter and stiffening already toward winter again. A cold world for color to go on coloring in. Lucky, he hadn't a mind now for color. He wanted snow sheets billowing up like bear thighs, horizonless white steaming out of infinity. He courted each flake that fell, kissing bittersweet on his cheek, unballed his tight little fists, limbered his fingers into each hexagonal hole, lifting back the delicate tissue until his whole head bobbed through and he knew where he was and what he had found, and a thrill of guilt throbbed in his throat, puffed up the muggy steam pots of his cheeks, tickled his quick, hot tongue until the gentle rhythms of snowflakes contracting over and over slowly into infinity pumped voice box wonders out of his mouth like words. Number four. Ha, he said to the sun when it failed to rise. Ha, he said to the snow when it failed to fall. Ha, he said to the moon when it failed to shine. Ha, ha, ha. He stood and listened a long time to the flat black echo of that laugh, wanting to be wrong. But he was not. His ha, ha, ha resounded nothing like the laughter he had practiced trying to be right. But it was, mind you, a laugh. The only laugh he heard. Number five. This is one of my favorite poems. I was at a poetry reading one night, sitting at a table next to a group of other poets who were talking among themselves about bad lines, lines that you could never start a successful poem with. And they came up with one after another. They laughed at it. And finally, one of them said, "Yeah, listen, I got it. This is the best." They said, "It was nice. You could never start a poem with that line, 'It was nice.'" And everybody laughed again, and that was the end of the conversation. I was working on this series at the time. I went home that night. I was sitting in bed trying, "Oh, what am I going to write about it?" And I thought, "Eh, let me try it." Anyway, here is a poem that starts with the line, It was nice. It was nice, those long nights, to need no words, to have no one to hear him, having no thoughts to talk about as if they mattered. He sat in a sparkle of stars, and a low hum rose through his throat, tickled his lips, pressed shut against a silence that expanded across the entire sky, without jostling anything, without even nudging the tiniest speck of light out of its perfect place. I think I'm going to read that one again, just because I liked it so much. It was nice, those long nights, to need no words, to have no one to hear him, having no thoughts to talk about, as if they mattered. He sat in a sparkle of stars, and a low hum rose through his throat, tickled his lips, pressed shut against a silence that expanded across the entire sky, without jostling anything, without even nudging the tiniest speck of light out of its perfect place. This is number 6. Time was tiny scissors snipping here and deft there, unfolding origami memories, whole sheets of holes, stiff birds unable to fly anywhere. He tweaked a beak that would not speak, clipped a claw that would not close, poked those tiny scissors down every hole but his. Number 7. He was the dead of winter, so cold, he coughed a solid block of fog, all motion slowed to a stop, or almost. He breathed once a day, heart beat every hour. Gelid love, he called it, frozen slow in time, never complaining, only to himself, a month long monologue, a monotone of snow, a slow roll all the way to the pole, which was where he was when he awoke and saw her sitting like the dead of winter on his heart. Number 8. He rolled a smooth stone along the fingers of his left hand and hunkered, motionless, over an ice hole. Seal spear poised over his right shoulder, stiffening as the surface gurgled, slanting down fast then, between seal eyes, through seal bone, into seal brain. A day's wait done. He slung the carcass over his shoulder, plopped the smooth stone down the hole, and plodded off. One step, always only one step ahead of the blood-stained snow. It's number 9. He had always had at least 7 names for the snow, but tonight he had 7 million. One for each flake that fell in its uncanny uniqueness. He called out one after another until one flake struck him as so beautiful he could spend the night with it. And while 7 million flakes fell somewhere else besides here, this one zeroed in on the tip of his tongue and melted like none of the names he knew. Number 10. He walked on water that jackpot morning. Multitudes thronged behind him, waiting to crow laugh him under. So he jogs out, all gingerly and gentle, each toe drop feathered under his weight, and it held. The damn thing, it held. So he strode step after step, goat surer and surer, until the crowd's sound pounded down around him on the ice he hadn't told anyone about, which is what he was walking over after all. And when it got just quiet enough for the whole universe to hear, a dull thunder rumbled under the ice, divided his mind, and the next step he took flushed him, all bug-eyed and bony, into the krill-ripe swill of the beautiful sea. It's number 11, the last poem in the series. He dove down deep in the coastal, where bowheads sang unearthly songs of hunger and home, and loved each other with each rubber hose bass twang note plucked whole from their hollow throats. These were the voices he dreamed of having and hearing. He climbed on an ice floe and heard his words emerge from pitching blacknesses into the dim green light of winter day, like the darkest shades of emerald he remembered, like his hunger lunging deeper, like his love song headed home.